Turn back to Hebrews chapter 7. I'm not going to even pretend like I can handle all this morning. These things like this we find in the Word of God. It's just so profound. And it's so over our heads. Every time I step in this pulpit, I tell you this, I realize I'm over my head. Trying to deal with such matters as judgment, eternity, salvation, and the Lord and His person, His work. I mean, He's the wisdom of God. All the treasure of God is bound up in that man, and we haven't began to scratch the surface. We really haven't. We haven't began to scratch the surface of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and what awaits us. And trying to put it into words, I have to say the more I preach, the more difficult I find it to put these things into words. And I guess the best thing to do is just use the words the Scripture uses and just trust the Lord to reveal it, make it known. Now, I titled this message, Consider How Great This Man Was, this Melchizedek. Not much is written about him, someone said, but really the whole Bible is written about him. Because this Melchizedek is Christ. That's who He is. I believe that. I believe it's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham recognized that. Let me show you. We'll see this. He says here, let's start out. Now back in verse 20, in chapter 5, it says, Whether the forerunner has for us entered, even Jesus, he has entered into the Holy of Holies, and this forerunner, he says here, is made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now remember, he writes to these Hebrews. They kept looking to that Aaronic priesthood. They kept wanting to go back to that Aaronic priesthood. And the apostle here is pointing them back not to the Aaronic priesthood, but back past that. To Melchizedek. He's after that order. He's not after the order of Aaron and that priesthood. Aaron and that priesthood are types. I thought about this morning. It's like the priesthood of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, is like a parenthetical statement. A parenthetical statement, it clears up the sentence. It makes it read better. It gives you a little more understanding. But you can remove it. And do no damage to the sentence. So basically you got Melchizedek. But now if you just had Melchizedek, and that's all we had, and then the Lord comes 2,400 years later, and he lives out his life 33 years, and he dies on a cross, we really wouldn't quite comprehend what he was doing. Because through the Aaronic priesthood, we see that we have the Passover. You know, we have the Passover lamb. We have the offering. We have all these things that represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he came and fulfilled those things, that just lifted out. Now that's done away with. That's why he said to these Hebrews, that's done away with. There's no connection now to that. His connection is to Melchizedek. That everlasting priest, that Melchizedek, that one who never dies. He's after that order. Now let's look, first of all, see who this Melchizedek is. Over in Genesis chapter 14. Then we'll come back to Hebrews. In Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, let's look in verse 10. They have this war going on. You know about it. And this is where Abraham goes to get his nephew Lot. It said, and the vale of Shittim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. He brought back everything. He lost nothing. Abraham recovered it all. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And then all of a sudden, we have this king priest. God has never been without a priest. The church has never been without a priest. Jerusalem has never been without a priest. She's never been without a king priest. Ever. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, and I read that to you over in, look over here in Psalm, well, I'll just read it to you, I had it marked. In Psalm 76, in Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem, and everyone said that Salem is Jerusalem. It was later named Jerusalem. And in Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Well, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now, here's the king priest. The priest is going to offer up the sacrifice, but this king priest brings bread and wine. That's the same thing our Lord brought the night he was betrayed, and that's the same thing we use on the Lord's table when we observe the Lord's table is bread and wine. So this Melchizedek, king priest, which no one ever held those two offices. David was a king, he was not a priest. Aaron was a priest, he was not a king. Saul was a king, he tried to perform the office of a priest, and he lost the kingdom and God killed him. Uzziah tried it, he tried to make an offering, he's King Uzziah, God turned him into a leper. The only king priest that Jerusalem has ever had, that God's people have ever had, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do believe this Melchizedek is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always had one. That's who he is. And he says, now go back over here in Hebrews 7. I don't know how far we'll get this morning. We'll get till I run out of what I got to say, which may not be much. Because we know in part and we preach in part. And we need to learn to sit down when that part's over. Now this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, he met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings. And listen, he blessed Abraham. And I want you to notice something as we go through this. Abraham recognized him as the king priest. Abraham bowed to him. He did this one other time. There were three men, three angels, it says, came to Abraham. They were going to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham called one of them Lord. He recognized one of them as Lord. Abraham recognized who this was. He recognized this is the king priest. Now, a king has to have a kingdom, does he not? And a priest, he's the priest of the Most High God. Now, a priest, it says over here in Chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So, he's a king priest, And he's king of Salem, which later was named Jerusalem. We know Jerusalem, which means he has a kingdom. But it never dawned on me. And I'm thinking, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, well, here's Abraham. And out of him comes the Hebrew nation, the Israel, the elect, they're the picture of God's church. And then, you know, this is where Jerusalem comes from. And I'm thinking, here's already a king priest of Salem. But I believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe after this happened, he went back to glory. But turn over to Galatians. And I think we can make, I'm going to make this connection. I think it's so. Over to Galatians. Let me see. Galatians chapter 4. She's all Jerusalem, the Lord's elect, the Lord's people, which are Jews and Gentiles that believe out of all nations. And that's who makes up the true Israelites, those who believe God. Now, let me find my place here. Let me see. It's Galatians chapter 4. Look in verse... let's look back up here in verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, that was Hagar, the other by a free woman, Sarah. And he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That was not after the promise, it was after the flesh. You remember Abraham went in to Hagar. Sarah said, you go, I'm too old, this is not going to happen. So they went in and she had Ishmael. I believe it was Ishmael, or anyway, she had Ishmael, I believe it was. But that was after the flesh. That was after the flesh. But of the free woman, it was by a promise. That's Isaac. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is under bondage. That Jerusalem that now is right now, over there in the Middle East, is under bondage. It's still under bondage. Which is in bondage with her children. But now listen. But Jerusalem, which is above, she's free. That's who he's the king priest of. He's king priest of that Jerusalem that's above. And I believe after he offered that bread and wine there, and he blessed Abraham. And after he blessed Abraham, he went back to glory. I have no doubt of that. He went back to glory. He went back to that Jerusalem, which is above and are free. And she's always been free, which is the mother of us all. She's the mother of us all. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Now Abraham says here, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that, in that order, because there is no such peace without righteousness. You cannot have peace with God without righteousness. So he's first king of peace, and after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And we know that Christ is our peace. And we know that he's a king of righteousness. He's a righteous king. And he's a king of righteousness. Now, without father, without mother, without descent, that is, without pedigree. This Melchizedek that met Abraham, they could find no pedigree whatsoever. Of his father, his parentage, they couldn't find anything on him. They had nothing on this man. Now, under the Aaronic priesthood, you better have a pedigree, or you're not going to be a priest. When Aaron died, then the next one came along, he had to prove he's from the Levitical tribe, and, you know, he had to prove it by his pedigree before he could be a priest. But this one didn't have one. He didn't have one. Because I tell you why, he's not born from men. He has no earthly father. He has a heavenly father. He has no earthly father. He has no earthly pedigree. He's the Lord from heaven. That's who he is. He has neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. His priesthood is continual. His priesthood, now here's what's going to show us. I hope I make sense out of this. His priesthood preceded that one of Aaron's. It was before Aaron's priesthood. Aaron's priesthood, like I said, is like a parenthetical statement. It just shows us, it explains to us the work of Christ. But the priesthood, right here, Melchizedek, is before. Listen, it was 400 years before the law was given. Before the law was given, before the Aaronic priesthood was set up, here we have a priest. Here we have a priest. And he has no pedigree. He has no earthly pedigree. They can't find his father and mother. That's because it's the Lord. That's because the king priest is the Lord. This Melchizedek is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now consider how great this man was. Oh, consider the greatness of this man. Unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Who, as far as the Hebrews were concerned, who would they say was the greatest man that ever lived? Abraham. They said, we have Abraham as our father. They traced everything back to Abraham. Everything went back to Abraham. And what the apostle was pointing out here, well, look who Abraham bowed to. This Melchizedek is far greater than Abraham. Even though you can't trace his lineage. You can't trace his lineage. But he's far greater. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, they have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. The people, the Hebrews, were to pay 10% of all that they had to the Levites in order to take care of the ministry and help take care of the poor people. That is, of their brethren. They took tithes of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. They were all related, but the law said that they were to take 10%. But he whose descent, whose pedigree is not counted from them, tithes were paid to him by Abraham. He's going to show how great the Lord Jesus Christ is, his priesthood is, over that of Aaron, because they kept wanting to go back under that old Levitical priesthood, just like the Catholics do now. You know, they try to resurrect that old priesthood, but that our Lord has no connection to that priesthood now because it's gone. His connection is to Melchizedek. But he whose descent and pedigree is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. And listen, he blessed him that had the promises. Now, if that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is, I believe it is, he blessed Abraham. He blessed everyone that's in Abraham. He blessed all the sons of Abraham. You and I, who believe the gospel, we were blessed. When he blessed Abraham, and when he blessed our father Abraham, and Abraham is our father, if we believe the gospel, he's the father of all those who believe, the scripture says, over in Romans chapter 4. The true Israel of God are those who believe God. They are the true Israel of God. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. That's the way it always is. And Abraham was blessed of Melchizedek. He's going to show the superiority of Christ's priesthood here. And here, men that die are subject to death. They receive tithes, the Levites received them. But there he received him of whom it is witnessed. He's still alive. He never died. He liveth. Who could that be? That can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the king priest. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Well, there's your good picture of representation. But here's what he's saying. He's saying that Abraham, the whole Aaronic priesthood, submitted to this one. He said the whole priesthood from Abraham, starting with Abraham, then after the law was given and the Aaronic priesthood was set up, it all submitted to this one, Melchizedek. Don't go back to the Aaronic priesthood. Don't go back to those ceremonies. Don't go back to those types. They're gone. Look at this one, who lives forever, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we'll see here later, he takes this, that him being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, over in Psalm 110, and he applies that to the Lord Jesus Christ. He applies it to him. Now let me find my place again. It says, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And when he met him, Abraham recognized him. He recognized who he was. And he paid a tenth of all that he had to this man. And he said the whole Levitical priesthood submitted to this man. Now, if therefore perfection, salvation, basically, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, then what further need was there that another priest should rise? If the Aaronic priesthood made those who brought the sacrifices, who came to the priest, and now if it made them perfect, if it put away their sins, then why another priest? Why another priesthood? What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? Our Lord didn't arise after the order of Aaron. It was after the order of Melchizedek. With the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. In other words, if this priesthood that is recognized is after the order of Melchizedek, then the law that gave the ceremonies and types, it's done away with. Because it's a totally different priest. It's a different order. It doesn't, what he's saying, it has no connection. The Aaronic priesthood has no connection with Christ. Now that it's fulfilled, it's over with, there's no connection. The connection is back to Melchizedek. It's back to him. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe. Not the tribe of Levi. The Levites, and that's where all the priests came out of, the Aaronic priesthood and all those priests after him, they all came out of that tribe. But this priest is of another tribe. This one's of another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. No, they didn't recognize this one. For it's evident, now he's going to tie it into our Lord. Now notice how he ties it into our Lord. Now it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. That's the king. That's the kingly tribe. That's where the kings came from. Out of Judah. It came out of Judah. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident. For that after the similitude or likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Which is nothing more than a continuation of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been our priest. He's always been the high priest. He's always been the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's always been that. He's always been the king of God's people. He's always been the high priest of God's people. He's always been these things. And what he's telling these Hebrews is that the Aaronic priesthood and all that they did, all those ceremonies and types, that's all they were types and pictures. They're gone. They're over with. Quit going back to them. They kept wanting to go back. You can imagine, listen, what if you were raised up under that? What if you were raised up believing that salvation was in these things? These offerings, the blood of the Lamb, the atonement day, the atonement, all that. You know what it takes to take all those grave clothes off? And what he's telling them is that that's ended. Christ is our high priest. Christ has entered into the Holy of Holies. And his priesthood is not after that like Aaron's, it's after that of Melchizedek. It's an everlasting priesthood. It has no end. It's divine. It's of God. It's of God. It says here in verse 15, and it is yet more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, not after that law that made Aaron a priest and those other men priests, but after the power of an endless life. Now that has to do with his deity. The power of an endless life. Only God has an endless life. Only Christ has no beginning of days nor end of life. He's the high priest of God. He's our high priest. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He reaches back to Psalm 110, verse 4, and he applies that to the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is verily a disannulling, a doing away of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. The offering of the blood of bulls and goats, all those ceremonies, did not put one sin away. No one was ever saved by those. I had a young man tell me years ago, and I've told this before. He told me this years ago. He said, the people of the Old Testament were saved by the blood of bulls and goats, and we're saved by the blood of Christ now. No, we're saved. We're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. From the first person saved to the last one, Christ is the Savior. Christ is the priest. Christ is the King. And that's why he's taking them back to Melchizedek, that everlasting priest, that priest of the Most, that King priest, God's priest. The one who's the king and the priest of the Jerusalem that's above and is free. God's people. God's people. Now he said in verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. It saved no one. It put nothing away. But the bringing in of a better hope did. Now, Paul, in writing to Timothy, calls Christ our hope. What is our hope of eternal life? Christ. What is our hope of forgiveness? Christ. What is our hope of righteousness? Christ. He is our righteousness. Whatever hope we have in Christ. And he says, by the which we draw nigh unto God. How is it we draw nigh unto God? In His name. We draw nigh unto God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His person. We come unto God by Him. Now, inasmuch as not without an oath, He was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath. Aaron died and the next one took his place. He died and the next one took his place. That was in line. He had the right pedigree. He took his place. But this priest was made with an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. And here again, he quotes Psalm 110 verse 4. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This one was made with an oath. When was that oath? That was before the world began. That was in that covenant of grace. That was in eternity. That's when he was made the priest, the king priest of God's people. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, a better covenant. That what we call new covenant, which really preceded the old one. It was before that the old one was revealed first, and now we see the new covenant. But really, you know why it's new? Because it's eternal. That's why it's new. It never grows old. The first one he gave to the Israelites, it grew old. It had a time limit on it. This has no time limit on it. It never grows old. It's like our Lord is timeless. It's eternal. It's an eternal covenant of grace. And is it ever better? Is it better? They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They kept dying. But this man, now consider how great this man was. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the man, this man, because he continues forever, he never dies. Death has no dominion over him. He has an unchangeable priesthood. It's not going to change. Our priest is within the veil. Our priest is within the Holy of Holies. Our priest took his blood, which is the blood of atonement, into the Holy of Holies. And he'll never die. He won't be replaced. Aaron got replaced, and the next one got replaced for 2,000 years. They kept getting replaced, but this one has never been replaced. It's like he's not carrying on that order. This was just the Aaronic priesthood. It's just a type. It's an explanation of his work, and it's over with. We don't need priests and ceremonies and these things. We have a high priest of God, King of Salem, King of Jerusalem, who's in the Holy of Holies. They're interceding for us. Now listen. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And because of this, because of who he is, because of his unchangeable priesthood, he is able. Aaron wasn't able. All the ceremonies and all that went on during that time was not able to make us perfect. It was not able to save us, not able to do anything for us. But this one, who abides forever, who is the Son of God, who is our Melchizedek, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save them. Aaron couldn't save anybody. All that Aaron did saved no one. For 2,000 years, all that he did, the blood that was shed, that was offered, that saved no one. Those who were saved are the ones who look beyond that to the Lamb of God. They saw Christ in those types, just like you and I see him in those types. They look beyond that. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's there to make intercession for them. And listen, such a high priest became us. Such a Melchizedek, such an everlasting priest became us. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer sacrifices, up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son. He's the high priest. He's our high priest. You see, they got focused in on the Aaronic priesthood, the ceremonies, and they missed Melchizedek. They missed They missed the true high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. They missed him. And really the whole message of this is that Christ, our high priest, is far superior than that of Aaron. And he points out that Abraham and the whole Levitical priesthood bowed to this one. Bowed and paid tithes, worshipped this one. This one. And this one is able to save. Aaron can't save you. The blood of bulls and goats can't save you. We'll see that in the next chapter. But this one can save. And he's telling those Hebrews, don't try to go back to those ceremonies. Don't go back to that old priesthood. Don't try to reestablish that. That's over with. Christ has no connection to that anymore. Our high priest is seated in the heavens at God's right hand. Our king priest. Our king priest is seated in the heavens at God's right hand, reigning and ruling. He reigns and rules over all. We know that. But he's the king priest of Jerusalem that is free and that's above. This one on earth is still in bondage. It was just a type. It was just a picture. And if God ever saves them, He ever saves them, He'll save them just like He saved you and me. Faith in Christ. They will turn to Christ just as we've turned to Christ. The same way. They won't reestablish that old temple and the old priesthood. That ain't going to happen. They're going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Melchizedek. Well, I hope I didn't muddy that up. These things are just... After I read all that, I tried to put some notes together. I thought, no wonder he said, you're dull of hearing. He said, let us go on. And there's so much to learn. There's just so much more there to... Well, there's so much more there to grab hold of, to feed on in the Lord Jesus Christ.